Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
To the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Show. I am Blake Harrison. Joining me as ever is Stuart Hweffen.
All right.
All right, mate. You good?
I've still got the headphones on. I can take these off now.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. But more importantly than that, we've got a guest in the show, live in the studio. We've got Arnold Almighty Allen.
What's going on?
This is where we need a live audience to give you the round of applause that you deserve there. Yeah. Yeah.
What's happening, guys? Good?
Good, mate. Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Really good. Things are on the mend. Everything's on the mend.
So is that health-wise at the moment? Health-wise, you on getting better? You okay? You said to me, did you tear a meniscus or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, just a meniscus tear and a chip patella and some other tendon I don't know the name of. But I've been getting like stem cell treatment and it's interesting. It's not pleasant. I wouldn't recommend that bit of it, but apparently it's really good. So,
because that's the one like Rogan's mentioned, like stem cells for years now, I think. But the treatment's not... Do you get it injected into you or something? How does that work?
Yeah, so they take the goods out, they spin it, freeze it, thaw it out, mix it. I don't know if they mix it with something. And they put the good stuff back into the site, so the injury site. And that ain't pleasant. Like that's, I don't mind needles, but that's not nice.
Really? Is it because it's a big needle? Is it painful? Like, what is it?
I was trying not to look at it, but... what is it? So,
can you feel it being pumped in?
Yeah, so this is, everyone's asking how it feels, but the best way I can describe it is like, you know the valve you blow up a football with?
Yeah.
It's like, it feels like someone's putting one of those in you and then pumping air through it. Oh, and it's just God. Like, you can feel your leg go like that. Like, oh, mate. Not good.
Oh,
but yeah.
Jesus.
It's doing the job, though. It's healing, and every day I'm moving better than I was yesterday, so that's good.
Where are you at with training?
Probably a few days off, like flat out training, yeah. Maybe a week. So I'm just trying to gauge things, not be silly, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, it's feeling strong. I just don't want to do anything stupid just yet, so.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, look, before we get into even more questions with you, should we talk about Ferocious Fightwear?
Yes, Ferocious Fightwear are the sponsors of the MMA Fan Show. They're a local company that reached out to us when they saw the show on YouTube. And also we should point out that Ferocious Fightwear are also going to be sponsoring the Cage Warriors Academy show that we're going to be at on April the 6th. There's some fantastic fights on that. But in the meantime, head over to their online shop, check out what they sell. Go shields, ham wraps, rash guards, shorts, all the stuff that you need if you train. And you can find that at ferociousfightwear.com.
Right. On to our guest, Arnold Almighty Allen. There he is in all his glory. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see him on the big screen as well. There's so much that's happened since we last had you on the show. I believe it was back before. Just before you fought Dan Hooker, I think, was the last time you were actually on the show.
I think so.
Obviously, so much has happened since then for you. But most recently was UFC 297 against Movsar Evloev. I messaged you after that fight because, obviously, we're such huge fans of yours. We always want to see you do well. Yeah. But I messaged you also to say that I thought you won that fight. I thought you won round one. It was a very close round, but I felt like you won it. And then I thought you clearly won round three. What are your thoughts on the fight looking back on it?
Yeah, it was close. I felt in the moment I won. But Yeah, even watching it back, yeah. But I just, a little mistake in the round two. I felt too good in round two, to be honest. I just, in my head, I was just like, this guy's slow. Like, I've got his time in, making a miss, blah, blah, blah. I just walked into a shot, like, oh, fuck's sake. But I knew, like, I remember everything from the moment, and I was just like, in my head, even then, I was just like, dickhead. I was just like, what are you doing? Yeah. But
eat a big shot from a elite level fighter, and your thought is, oh, I'm a dickhead.
Yeah. But yeah, if I felt the whole round, I was like, I've got it. I've got his number here. Like, too fast for him. He's shots are slow, punches. I see everything coming. And then I just sort of got a bit too cocky, walked into one, and I just lost the round on that. Probably lost the round on that exchange because I felt like the whole round I was winning. So, yeah, can't argue with that. But, one and three, I felt, did enough. And especially with the new scoring system, the way, it's not even new, but the scoring system they're supposed to apply, it's hard to know where you're at. You watch one fight, and one guy does no damage, but a bit more control. And then the next fight is all damage, control, and it gets scored different ways. So it's hard to have a standard of where you should be playing the game. So
yeah, it's tricky because, you know, obviously there is the scoring criteria. We feel like we should all know where we're at. But as you say, there was times in that fight where, particularly in round one, where, you know, I think he did maybe take you down, but you were able to get back up. He did very little damage. You were ripping to the body in that round as well. I think you can see him visibly definitely not enjoying those shots to the body. And it just felt like to me that on damage, as it should be scored, you won round one. And then two and three, I think, are pretty simple. What? How do you kind of come back from that now? Because, we've been chatting to you before. We've pressed record, all those things. You seem perfectly fine. Is it a difficult thing to get over when you feel like you've been robbed of, you know, that second half of your paycheck, the momentum of your career, when you've been, that's been taken away from you by what you feel like is maybe a bad judging decision rather than like a mistake you've made or because your opponent was better than you? Is that difficult to come back from?
It's not difficult to come back in terms of like going to the next one, but like, it's shit because obviously winning that one, I probably, the way the division's shaped up, probably be looking at a title shot or something.
Yep.
You know, obviously I lost to Max Holloway before that, and not too many people were asking to fight Max Holloway before before trying to get a title fight. And
I don't think many people were asking to fight Mobsar either.
No, they weren't.
But yeah, you know, I believe if you want to be the best, you have to fight and beat the best, right? So yeah, but a couple adjustments for both those guys and I could have won, easy saying it. And then just going into the next one and just putting a stamp on it, you know, don't go out there and be too passive and maybe feel, if I feel like I'm winning a little bit, like press a little bit more. So yeah, maybe that's something I need to do going forward. And I just turned 30 in January, so I've got a few more, three years at the elite, I think, to push and, you know, get what I want to do done. So
Do you feel like you're putting pressure on yourself there with like 3 years, or do you think that, because I mean, you're already right towards the top of the division.
Yeah,
only losses are to an undefeated Mobsar that a lot of people think you won, and Max Holloway in the UFC. I mean, that did nothing to you know, be ashamed of there or anything.
And we've often said we don't feel that like your stock went down. If anything, went up after that performance against Max, because it was a tight fight. And you know, and Max, he's Max. You know, I thought you put in a fantastic account.
Yeah, no, it was good. I know I could do better. You know, it's easy saying it, but yeah, I know I could do better. And he's obviously the veteran he is. And he came in and switched his game plan up. And I don't know how many fights he's had in the UFC, but every one he kind of does a similar sort of strategy. And then he was just like, you know what, I'm going to move and make you miss a little bit. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, march forward. Don't be dancing around. That's what I do. Like, stop. So yeah, that definitely threw us off. But yeah, it is what it is. And learn from it. And being in there with some of that elite, you know, it kind of steps you up a bit. But just have to get back to the drawing board.
Can you talk a little bit about how it was to fight Max? Because, you know, you'd fought, you know, big names like Dan Hooker and such. But Max, he's... Yeah. You know, he's a superstar of the organisation. Yeah. And obviously, like you, seems like a really nice guy. Talk a little bit about the kind of enormity of all of a sudden you're facing off against Max Holloway, who I presume you was, you know, you're a fan of.
Yeah, definitely. No, I always love watching Max. But, it wasn't weird at all in a sense. It's just I felt, this is the guy, I have to beat him up. You know, that was the target. I was like, put aside what my feelings are if you like him and fan of his work or whatnot, it's just like, I've got to try and beat you up. Like, yeah. Whatever you've done and whatever I appreciate you've done, you know. One of the worst things, though, was they were announcing us and, where was it, Kansas City. So they announced me first. I got booed. I was like, fair enough. Fair enough. And announced Max. He got a big pop. Everyone loves him. All right, whatever. Then Jason Herzog was reffing. They said, referee Jason Herzog. And he got a woo. I'm like... he was in my court, like in my side of the cage, and I looked at him and I was like, the fuck? And he just went,
yeah. Yeah. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, and I'm like, come on. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I was like, he's reffing. I'm at least fighting. Yeah. But yeah, so that was kind of like put it into perspective, I guess. Everyone loves Holloway and in America.
And Jason, obviously.
Yeah, and Jason as well. Good ref. But, yeah, is what it is.
How does that affect you when you get booed? Because, obviously, you know, you're in the States, you're fighting Max. Hmm. Does that have any effect? Because you hear about these, you know, when people spoke about, like, Usman fighting Leon in London, and it would be like, oh, the noise, well, you know, the boos, it's going to affect them getting into their head. Like, does it actually sort of affect you?
Not me. No, everyone's different here, but I don't really. It's kind of like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, they don't like me. Fair enough. Yeah. But some people I feel like, yeah, like it will kick them up the arse or all the opposite, maybe crumble them a little bit. And I guess when everyone's going and cheering, like it G's you up a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't do much.
Is it like. Is one of your only home fights, correct me if I'm wrong here, was it the Dan Hooker fight? In terms of the UFC fighting in the UK, have you fought in the in the UK much for the UFC outside of the Dan Hooker fight?
Yeah, no, I fought in... I don't know, maybe it looks silly now. I fought in the UK loads. For the
UFC, yeah, that's my bad then.
Yeah, I fought in Liverpool, I fought Mads Pinnell, I fought Makwan in London, Yatsin Meza in London... Jordan Rinaldi in London.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's made me look stupid. London. Thank you very much, Arnold. Cheers. Should have done my research beforehand. We've gone on peace here. But the reason I was going to bring... We'll make me look stupid and the YouTube commenters will love it. But it just came to me because I kind of thought the last time I remember you fighting in London was the Dan Hooker fight.
I think that's the only one anyone remembers.
I know. But it's like, but it was because that felt different for you and it was making me think, well, does the home crowd play a different part in kind of... riling you up and getting something else out of you, but maybe not, because obviously it wasn't a unique situation for you to be fighting in the UK UFC.
But that, you know, that was a special night, and like I said, I fought in a load of London cards. And that one was like, I don't know, maybe it was coming out of the lockdowns and the first event in, I think it was like 2 years. Everyone was anticipating like a big event. Everyone was excited to be out, and it was a special night. And I fought on a couple of pay-per-views, and that card was better than all of them, you know. Maybe the fights, but just the night itself, it just panned out to be, for me, it was the best fight night they've done, you know. Yeah. So I'm a bit biased, but yeah.
I think it was one of the best as well. I really enjoyed it. And going back to the Movsar fight, the only other question I kind of had for you and the thing I wanted to discuss on it was the quote-unquote illegal knees that I think a lot of people thought weren't illegal. Whether they were illegal or not, again, I felt like you were lifting him as you were kneeing, and so his hand wasn't down. But it seems like there's different rule sets in different athletic commissions in terms of, like, some aspects your hand has to be flat. It has to be a weight-bearing hand. And some commissions, you can sort of be dragging your fingers, and if you get kneed, that's illegal.
Yeah.
How annoying is that as a fighter? Should it not just be one rule across the board in all commissions, because you're training for a fight and then you have to research what commission, you know, state or province or whatever it is that you're fighting in, and you have to adjust your game plan and surely in the middle of a fight to try and remember, oh, hang on, where am I? Oh, yeah, I'm in Toronto. I've got to do it like this. It must be annoying. It's annoying for fans. It must be really annoying for fighters.
Yeah, it's just stupid, isn't it? Like, you know, football, like if you play up north, you're not going to go, right, we're not doing any offside rules. Like, you know, you could volley the ball all the way out there. Or something. We're playing 12 players. Like, it don't happen. The rules are uniform wherever they're playing. And that's what you need to be, like, one of these.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Elite sports, right? You can't have different rules in different areas, and it's just stupid. It's stupid. So hopefully they sort it out.
Yeah. Because did you know what rule set you were in at the time of that fight?
I'm making a mistake. I don't want to, like, pre-fight, you're in the zone and stuff maybe, but I remember asking if there was anything rule-wise to sort of look out for, and it was just like, nope, that's normal. So that was my memory of it, but maybe it was like, you can't need a guy in the head on the ground. Okay. But yeah, I'm pretty sure I didn't get that information. I heard the corner when we had the head and arm, it was just shouting knee, and I was like, okay. And that's why I pulled him up, because we didn't hear anything about that. So mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to lift and make sure it's legal. And so it is a bit of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it was frustrating. As that was happening, I thought he was almost, I thought he was very hurt by those knees, and I thought they were legal. So it was very frustrating, even as a fan of yours, to see that happen.
I felt he did a good job after, because he was hurt. I see him because I was here and he was sat down slumped, and I was like, oh, it doesn't look good. But he came straight back obviously didn't affect the rest of the fight. Like, he was fine. So he's tough. He's a tough man.
Yeah.
I guess we need to look at what's next. What are you thinking?
There's a big rumour going around, isn't there? Apparently coming back in July, I don't know. So yeah.
Is that the rumour? I haven't heard this rumour.
Something about Manchester.
Okay. Are you dropping some exclusive news on us there, Arnold?
I don't know. Just rumours. Just rumours.
Well, it would make sense. The big UK stars, they want them to be there at Manchester. You think it'll be a pay-per-view?
Yeah. Makes sense, right? Like, we've got when's Leon going to fight? Tom's going to fight soon. They haven't been to the UK yet, and you've got two champions of sorts with Tom's interim, still champion. Yeah. It makes sense.
I'd love it. I really hope you're right, because I heard it was probably going to be a fight night, but
that's what
if
they
it's
were
a
saying,
pay-per-view, because they're saying that they want to do a late June pay-per-view event. They've already got Rio 301. I think they've got late June International Fight Week 302. So maybe if it's late July, maybe that would be a UK pay-per-view, maybe 303 or something like that. But isn't 30? When's the Sphere? Is that 306?
Yeah,
that's 306. So maybe 306. It would line up. Maybe it'd line up really, really well. But would that, in terms of how you're feeling health-wise and everything, does Manchester in July suit your timeline?
Yeah. I mean, I'd be back to training. I am training. I am training. Just ear suits.
Ear suits. Importantly for us as fans, we always want to know, who would you fight? So we had your coach Jack Mason on recently. He had some thoughts. We've got some thoughts. But more importantly, what do you think?
To be honest, at this point in my career, it's like, as long as there's someone in the top 10, I already took a back step on the last one. The guy was ranked, I think, 9th or something. And fair, whatever. Put me in an awkward position. There was no one available. They wanted to make the Ortega Yair. After the Holloway fight, I was pushing for one of those guys. like the biggest names, highest ranked, all that sort of stuff. And obviously they wanted to put them two together. Fair enough. Makes sense. And yeah, so I was happy to fight down. And I'll be fighting down. I'm sure obviously two on the bounce losing. I'll be fighting down the rankings. So as long as there's someone in the top 10 and you know, a good win will keep me back in there with the elite guys. That's what's going to make me happy.
Come on, give us a name. Who'd you fancy?
Anyone, honestly. I don't give a shit. It's just me. Like, it's me against me. So the opponents are relevant.
Well, look, the fight that made sense to us, and I think to Jack Mason as well, was a guy where you wouldn't be fighting down in the rankings. You'd technically be fighting up. This guy's also on a 2-fight losing streak as well, technically. Jair Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Would that appeal to you? Would you like that fight?
Yeah, definitely. That's something I mentioned before, like someone like him, but I don't know what movie he's making now because he had 2 title fights, lost 2 title fights. He's been around the top for a long time. I don't know. Does he go for a 3rd title fight? I don't know. Yeah, it was interesting what he'll do next.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. In terms of Max, we talked about him earlier. He's got a big fight coming up at UFC 300 against Justin Gaethje. Having shared the octagon with Max, how do you think he fares in a fight against Justin Gaethje? Because for me, I just think, is the size going to be a problem there? Max, isn't it? You correct me if I'm wrong. Max doesn't seem like he's a heavy, heavy hitter. He's more of a volume striker. Justin is one of those guys where you're just like, and also Max does get hit. He's got it seems like an unbreakable chin.
Yeah.
But if anyone's got the chance of breaking it, it seems like it's probably Justin Gaethje. How do you see that fight going?
Yeah, when it was first announced, I thought that Gaethje too strong, hits too hard, and you know he's gonna. I had visions of him and Gaethje and Tony Ferguson. That's kind of what I saw. You know, one guy being too tough for his, you know, being able to take all the shots, and you know, just taking damage. And that was probably one of the times I've watched fights and just been a bit like, ooh, someone needs to stop this.
Yeah.
But. Those are the kind of things I was thinking. But then I was saying, no, actually, you know what? I think Holloway will probably fight him kind of similar to the way he fought me, you know, like pick and poke, switch stance, shift in and out, won't be there in those exchanges. But also when he needs to take a shot, he can take a shot, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, if he fights that way, I can see him having good success, you know, make Gaethje miss when he's swinging big hooks, big punches, and just peppering with shots, move in and out. I think Holloway can have success there. So, Yeah. I don't know how I'm calling it, but
you not got an official prediction?
Nah, I think Holloway's going to do better than I initially thought. I know that much.
Yeah, oh, that's great.
Yeah, I was thinking, like if he fights in the way he fought me, like moving a little bit. I don't think I hit like Gaethje, but it kind of became that fight where I was just trying to hit him with single big shots, and he was sort of a bit more mobile, moving in and out and moving around. So I could see him doing that in this matchup.
Was there anything that surprised you about Max?
No, not really. No. I hit him with some big shots. He came up to me after him. He was like, man, you hit like a truck. And I was just like, I don't think I hit you that hard, did I? Because you never show anything. He was like, no. I was like, oh, fair. Yeah, cool. Yeah. He's just nothing. You hit him with a hard shot and no expression, just like, straight back in your face. All right. Cool. Onwards. Yeah. I think you have to hit with a baseball bat or something.
Well, someone that does hit like a truck is Ilia Topuria. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he looked great. And he's been looking good. Like the one with Volkanovski, he looked fantastic. Did everything he sort of said he was going to do. Thinking of like the styles, the body type even, I could see how it was going to suit him, you know. Volkanovski's a high pace sort of switch stance, but then one of the things Ilya does nice, he's like eye level with those guys. Like when he fought Emmett, like he's not standing way tall above him, he's like eye level with him the whole time. And someone that's swinging those big wild hooks, it's nice just to put straight shots through the middle, and he just did that all night with him. He looks great, confident, says what he's going to do, and he sticks to his game plan and does it. So, yeah, a lot of respect for that. But you never know where Volkanovski was with that getting knocked out. And it wasn't that long after, was it? It was like straight back into camp. So I don't know.
He won that first round as well on all judges' scorecards.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. And I think he was winning the second until he...
Got a clip, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. He looked like he was starting to sort of pick it up a little bit as well.
Yeah.
But I could see in the exchanges every time he was coming in the combination, he'd come out a bit timid. You know, like he was sort of, I don't know. If, like getting knocked out like that makes you a bit like gun shy for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a long time where he got put on his ass to then go straight back into camp.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if that affected him through the sparring or anything, or if he went straight back into sparring, or if he took the time off that he should. It's hard to know, but yeah, I'm sure he would never say it affected the fight. But yeah,
definitely.
Well, I mean, that brings us on to what's next for them then, because Volk's obviously earned an immediate rematch with all the title defenses, but having been knocked out in October, knocked out in February, if they make Topuria fight in.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I don't know, June, July, August. That feels like it to me as a fan of Volk. I want to see him take off until November, December. So, do you think the first title defense for Topuria will be the Volk rematch?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. He's calling for anyone but, right? So he's like on to bigger things, like next thing, next. So yeah, I feel like, and he's got the following. He's just blown up. You know?
He really has.
Yeah, I see. What was it? Madrid brought him on the stadium.
Yeah.
Was it Madrid?
He's at the Bernabeu. Yeah,
he's at the Bernabeu. Then like someone gave him Aston Martin or something.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That's pretty cool. But he's all over the place, and I'm sure it's like an untapped market over there. So
yep,
he kind of calls the shots now, doesn't he? So
he seems to have the whole family in though. When the whole family went in the cage, I don't know if you noticed this, they were all in like black suits, like they'd been to a funeral. And obviously he's got that whole Rose thing. It's like the whole family is in on this sort of like Spanish mafia gimmick that he's got going on. I really quite enjoy it, if I'm honest.
It's different, isn't it?
It's different,
new sort of look, new thing happening. And it's sometimes you see it, you'll be like, oh, that's a bit cringy, but yeah. It works. He's like,
that's it. If you back it up, I think you can be a little bit cringe, can't you? I would like to see Volk take a bit of a break, and maybe that leaves room for like an Ortega or someone like that.
It's interesting, though, because he's... Not like he's not old man. Like, what is he, 36? He just turned 36. He's not an old man, but like...
But in those lower weight classes.
And he's always, more than that, just like his training camp style. Like, it's always someone I admired watching, like his preparation and stuff. Always like, looks like he gives 110%, you know, always. His camps look like hell. And it makes sense the way he fights. He always comes in like high pace, like worst positions he's fighting. He never gives up in anywhere. But they do take their toll, you know, that does take your toll. And, you know, if he was a 36-year-old that had been having, like, more comfortable camps and a less high-pressure fight style, maybe he'd have a bit more longevity. But I think those camps where you put everything on the line, you batter your body, and it takes time off you, you know?
Yeah,
not like in years of living, but, like, your joints, the will to do that again the next camp, you know, you've gone through the ring and it's like, all right, we have to gear up and do that again,
But he's come out and said, hasn't he, when he's not doing that, it's not good for his head. He's said that...
He's his own worst enemy.
Absolutely. We should say, last time he was on the show, he said that you were the nicest guy in MMA as well.
Yeah. he's the bollocks, he's the vamp. I think that is his... Where he's like... known for being the workhorse, and like obviously he wants that and that's how he trains. There comes a point where you just like you hit a wall and you're just like, oh, don't want to do that again, or like can I put that work in again and again and again. So at some point you have to train. Even I noticed from being 28 to now 30, I train different now than I did then.
What's your approach to sparring? Because we've seen lots of people now just kind of taking more of a back seat on the sparring. Has that changed for you?
No, I love sparring. I love sparring. Just, I like to get stuck in, but also I don't want to be coming out and being like, all right, I got my bell rung six times today. Like, that was a good day, you know. Like, no, yeah. Like, trying to avoid those. And every time you get a big shot, it's like, fuck's sake, you know. Mm. You want to be perfect as possible. Mm. And sometimes maybe that, say with the last fight, it was like, takedown defense was everything. So then the whole camp, it was like, rather than putting it on people and being high pace, it was takedown defense. Mm-hmm. So then maybe in moments where I would have and should have stepped on him, I was thinking, takedown defense, you know,
like, yeah.
Don't get in there, just move around him, ping him, move off. Whereas sometimes you have to get in those positions and exploit the mistakes, you know.
Yeah, well, go on.
How do you split your time? You know, you're talking about camp and that. How do you split your time now from Canada and the UK?
So I'll be over here for whatever's next. But just like weirdly, so where I train in Canada, there's a lot of, they're all very good guys. They're all great team, good pros, great coaches. But certain styles, body types, I have more of those here. Kind of the last few fights, like Dan Hooker, Cater, Holloway, it's suited to be here because I have all those body types, the striking coach, everything like that, all here. But then for the last one, for most of our, it was kind of perfect to be away because there was more wrestlers, more grapplers, more guys, that kind of body type. You know, like a 5'8", 5'9", sort of stocky wrestler.
Yeah,
it's weird. So I have the both parallels in different countries. So yeah,
yeah.
But how do you deal with the mental aspect of things? Like, we're talking about Volk there and how he struggled to be out of camps and stuff like that. You're someone that from time to time has had injuries, long layoffs, stuff like that. Can you fill your time with things that you're equally passionate about and enjoy, or do you struggle outside of camps as well?
It's I guess the only thing you can relate it to is not like closely is you know, like a soldier. They have so much like regiment. They have like a discipline, a plan, a strategy. Like, you're having breakfast this time, then we're running laps around the field at 11 or whatever. Then you're at a camp, you just kind of sit there and you're like, fuck do I do? I'm like, well, I'll go to the gym and just watch everyone train, I guess. And then you watch the sparring and it's like, I wish I was sparring. So it's more of a negative anyway. So yeah, it's just filling that time. But one of the good things of MMA is that there's so many, like if you broke your hand, you could throw kicks. If you if you can't kick, you can throw a jab, you know, like you can do that. And you can always study like grappling techniques, and usually you can do certain drills lightly and things like that. So there's always something to better. If you can't spar, you can run and swim or do something. You can always make yourself better somewhere. So just trying to find that gap somewhere. That's it. When I'm not doing anything, when I had the stem cell treatment, the doctor said after the injection, no, I don't want you doing anything for 2 weeks. So I was like, 2 weeks? I did something it within the 2 weeks. I went mad after a few days, and I found the one thing that was fine to do. I can't remember. Cycling. That was it. I was cycling. That didn't bother me. So I started cycling a bit. And it just goes.
Do you feel
mad.
Like you have to be physically active?
Yeah, like even if I sit there playing PlayStation, I'm like, not even fight related. I just want to do something like physical. Like, I'm just sitting there eating food, and I'm just like, I don't feel like I've earned this food. I don't feel like.
You got that as a kid, like always having to be kind of active.
Yeah, always doing something. Like, me and my brother are doing stuff, and then be out on the BMX, and then lifting weights. My dad just always doing something. So I hate sitting still.
Yeah.
I might be ADHD, I think.
What do you think you would be doing if you weren't a fighter? Like, have you thought, like, oh, I would have pursued this? And also, like, we had a brief chat earlier before we started recording about, like, well, you know, fighters' careers are short. So do you know, like, what you would like to pursue after your fight career? I mean, obviously, you're very young for me to ask that question, but is it a thought that's come into your brain, or have you thought, if I wasn't doing this, I would be doing X or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't know. I have thought about it before. And like, when I was younger, I thought it was cool to go in the army, actually, to be fair. I was like, I like that challenge and doing all that. But then I got to a point, actually thinking about it, friends that went in the army, and I was just like, maybe that's not for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was like, if the UFC didn't work out, maybe I'd go there. But I'm glad it's worked out the way it has. But post-career, I don't know. I've always thought I'd like to do things that challenge me, like, you know, people do the Ironman runs and shit. Yeah, like I'd love to do something like that, but I don't know how that pays the bills.
No, I wouldn't have a clue.
All the guys that do it seem to have a lot of money, and they seem to be retired or something.
Yeah.
You said PlayStation. Do you play PlayStation with it, or are you not really?
PlayStation's in Canada, actually. I need to ship it home. But
because people are doing the Twitch stuff now, aren't they? Yeah. Like, I think even Max and Demetrius Johnson and people like that, they do all like the Twitch. Is that something you'd be interested in, or are you just like, no, that's not my downtime. I don't want to have a camera in my face while I relax.
That is exactly what I thought. It's like, I do play PlayStation now and then, but it's like, that's when I try to escape from everything. I don't want to make that like a work thing. I know some guys do it and they don't care. Like, they have people on there and they make money off it as well, so it's fun. But then it's the job, right? If you've got like a responsibility, people are paying you money, then you feel responsible for them to entertain them. So I was like, I'd just rather go play PlayStation for an hour and not think about anything. So no, I wouldn't do that.
What games have you enjoyed lately?
The last time I felt I was playing Call of Duty. Yeah. And I was shit at it.
I'm terrible at those kind of games. I played like Spider-Man 2 recently. I loved that. I was good with that. Yeah. But any of the shooting games, I'm rubbish.
Yeah, I'm bad. I'm just that guy that's running Hail Mary everywhere.
Just running into walls, grenading yourself.
Yeah, literally.
That's me as well.
Guys hidden in bunkers and like popping up on me. I was just not very fun.
Tell us about how the merch is going.
Yeah, it's going all right. It's going good. So I've been off the YouTube for a few weeks now with moving house. Then my missus' computer blew up and we're trying to replace that in a minute. I think I'm picking up today. And then it's just stressful, isn't it, moving. So then we put that on the back burner. But I kind of have a studio set up, kind of. Not like this, but I have a chair. I have a chair in the room.
That's all you need. This is chairs, really.
Yeah, I bought a chair and I put it in the room. So there's that, you know.
That's
and
a studio, right?
Yeah, there you go. So
is that going to be a big feature in the campaign to make Mildil's great again? Because I'm really behind that campaign.
It's actually, like, all jokes aside with it, like, when you see you get less and less and the prices are creeping up, I'm just like, man, what are the government doing to us? And Tesco's and the elites, these bastards. I'm like, mate, the juices? I think they used to be like near 500 mil. I think now they're creeping down to like 250-ish or something.
All the shrinkflation stuff, is it? Chocolate bars used to be bigger, I swear.
Yeah, they did, yeah. Someone said it wasn't. There's like a thing. They said, no, they were the same. But
that's bollocks.
Yeah, it's got to be, all right. Crisp packets are now always quarter empty. It's like, come on.
I had a pack of hula hoops the other day and I had 12 hula hoops in there.
Yeah, literally.
You fucking did. You count 12 them out. In there.
Yeah. It's just, it's pretty shit, isn't it? But, what's the guy? Have you seen this ex-bodybuilder, Eddie Abu? He's going around on Instagram. He's going around like supermarkets and picking out the food and be like, it's fucking shit. Like, stop putting this shit in your body. I love it. He's hilarious. But, he's right. Like, I was reading ingredients and things, and I'm like, I can't live like this. Oh, man. I was like, I can't be reading the ingredients and things. I can't eat anything.
I tend to just stay away from a lot of that stuff now because I love a dirty takeaway.
Yeah, me too.
I'll have like
me
two
too.
A week sometimes. I'm kind of naturally blessed with that kind of like fast metabolism
where
I will just eat KFC and Domino's and stuff, and I'll be like...
Yeah, what's that like?
It's lovely. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure my insides are terrible. If I had a DEXA scan, there'd probably be loads of fat just all around my heart.
Yeah.
But you can't see it on my arms or anything, so it's fine. Right. We do want to end with a few kind of like quick fire stuff for you, Arnold, if that's all right.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to mention a few names in the featherweight division and we want you to give us either like a quick sentence or one word or whatever it is of how you think about them. It can be... just them, it can be their fight style, how you would match up with them, whatever you want. But let's go and start with the new champ, Ilia Topuria.
Spanish. Heavy hands. Big following.
Perfect. Volkanovski.
Legend.
Brian Ortega.
Weird guy. But he seems pretty good.
What makes him weird?
I actually been on a night out with him. He's a nice guy, actually.
Have you been
he's,
on a night out
yeah,
with him?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is he weird? What happened on the night out?
No, not even the night out. He was well nice. He was well all right. Just, I don't know, just see things pop up and he always sort of seems like he's talking deep, you know, like cryptic. And I'm just like...
It's a bit too earnest for you. You like to keep it chill when Mildew's.
But he's cool. He's cool. Just funny.
Yair Rodriguez.
He's a wild man as well, isn't he? He's very emotional, very passionate guy. That's it.
That's it. Max Holloway.
Another legend. He's the man. But really cool guy. Bit of an arsehole for switching his style up on me, but yeah.
Mozart, I believe.
He's all right. I suppose in person he seemed nice, and then I think he misunderstood a couple of things I said on Twitter, and he tried to come at me with some beef. But I think he's all right. Just like maybe a language thing.
Yeah,
I'll probably get more shit now. He's like,
fuck you. How dare you say that?
I say you're all right.
Josh Emmett.
Short, heavy hand, bald man.
Yeah. That's a good description of him. That's it. Yeah, it's a good description of him. We had him on the show actually a while ago. He was lovely bloke.
Yeah.
It's like the thing is, the featherweight division does seem to have a lot of really nice guys in there. And Josh Emmett was another one that we thought was a really
nice guy.
Nice guy.
Everyone says I've never met him, but yeah.
And speaking of weird guys, Bryce Mitchell.
He's pretty normal, isn't he? Yeah, I get behind some of the things. I like the farming. I like the country living stuff. I'm all in on that, but I don't know about everything else.
Death rays or whatever else.
Yeah, I mean, there's some weird stuff going on, but I don't know. I don't know how far I take it. Not that far, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Just meal deals for me, though. Stop shrinking the bastard meal
deals.
You've
got to stay with the kind of the campaigns in life and the protests in life that really matter something to you. You can't fake it.
No.
Meal deals is where your heart is.
That's it. And they're shrinking. The price is going up. We need some sort of membership package to get a cheap meal deal. Like, leave us alone.
Mate, someone's got to keep an eye on it, and you are that man.
Well, actually, someone sent me something, and what was it? Apple juice flation or something they're saying now, and it was
kids love apple juice. What the fuck?
So it was like, I think it was like the co-op or something, and it was a photo of their fridge with all the drinks in it, and it was all these different drinks and smoothies and whatnot, like a blueberry smoothie, like strawberry smoothie, any all different ones, and it was like 72% apple juice. Blueberry smoothie. It was like 62% mango smoothie was 60% apple juice. I was like, hang on a minute, banging apples and everything and calling it well or not. So I'll have to find it for you. It's interesting.
I wonder if post Brexit. Oh, this is me just coming up with a theory just straight off the bat here.
I encourage that.
Yeah. We're not going to get in any trouble, are we? No, maybe post Brexit they can't get all the fruits in from Europe like they would. So everything's now apples because we can grow our own apples.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we've only got a few mangoes to go around, guys. Let's just fill it all up. Apple.
That's what's happening. That makes sense. Yeah. I have to find the fig. It was interesting.
I've got one last question for you, Arnold. There's been loads of rumours and loads of press recently, and it seems like it's an ongoing soap opera. Do you think Conor McGregor fights this year? If so, who does he fight?
I'm going to go with no, he doesn't. They're saying summer, right? But no, that's not that far away. And I feel like a big bit... Well, I suppose with him, you don't need that long to hype a fight up. They announce it, it's going to be hyped up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think no, I don't see it. I don't think so.
I agree.
Yeah. No. So he's fighting no one.
I'm erring on the side that he fights.
Yeah.
I think he might get one in.
Chandler?
I think it's going to have to be. You can't say, I mean, it would be horribly funny to turn around to Michael Chandler after he's had 2 years out to just go, oh no, he's actually, Nate's coming back and he's fighting Nate. It'd be pretty awful for Chandler, wouldn't
it? Yeah. I could see it. I could see it
happening. You can see it happening, isn't it? Yeah. It could happen. Yeah.
Wonderful. Right. Arnold, mate, I can't believe you've took the time out of your day to come down to the studio as well. Thank you so much, mate.
It's nice, isn't it? Nice setup. Better than my chair.
Well, we will have you back any time.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, mate. Down.
Thank you very much.
And also, if people want to find out about merch and find out about everything you're up to, where's the best place to keep up to speed with you?
Almighty Merch Co on Instagram. That's where everything's going. Arnold BFA as well. Something.
Got your YouTube channel as well.
Arnold Almighty on YouTube. Just maybe put my name in it, comes up, I think.
It does. I did it earlier.
Yeah,
you have to scroll around.
I've done it before. I've put like, it's come up with a short or someone's video and it's like Arnold Allen. And I'm like, that's not me. And it's got like so many more views. I'm like, you wanker. He's like, that's a clip of me. Yeah. But yeah, it is what it is.
And we'll put all the links in the show notes to this, so if people haven't found it already, they can do so. Arnold, thanks loads, mate.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Cheers.